So there's a shoot in the Rashba. I don't know if you got to see the Rashba, but the Rashba is a tshuva, where he mentions something which is quoted by the Rama, that those halachas we spoke about last time, like a woman who's a frutza, goes out and does inappropriate things. So he says something about how it has to be regila b'kach. She has to be, it's just to be like something she commonly does. Right? So the question is, how does that fit? Like, where do you get that from the Gemara? That we spoke about last week, we spoke about Edom and Hasra, that even that was a stretch, I wasn't in the Gemara, but okay, makes sense, you didn't have Edom. But nowhere in the Gemara do we find anything about it being regila b'kach. So that's what the Ramah, if you look at source number one, the Ramah, when he's quoting Das Yehudis, so the Ramah says, Kederech she'osos odik ocham prutzos, v'chulei, and then he says, regila b'kach. Umar is roses, she shows off her arms, l'bnei Adam, regila b'kach. He's quoting a Rashba. So how do we make sense of this? So the Chalgas Mechokek just says, I don't understand this at all, and he rejects the Ramah. The Beis Shmuel points out that the tshuva of the Rashba is talking about, hey, Fima.
How are you?
Good, Baruch Hashem, welcome. Here's the Marmakoma sheet. So we're just talking about women who act inappropriately. At what point do they lose their ksuba? Which is what we spoke about last week, but we're getting into new things in just a minute, just want to finish up this last point. So the Beis Shmuel says, well, the Rashba is a tshuva about a woman who, the case was a woman who was mad at her husband, and because she was angry at her husband, she like went off and acted like a putza. She like just went into the street and like was exposing herself or whatever, unclear what was going on, but that was her like way to get back at her husband. So the Beis Shmuel says, okay, in that case, it's got to be normal, because we can write it off as just craziness, just trying to get at your husband. But the point here, as we spoke about last time, it's a bad situation for the marriage. Like, it's not a healthy marriage if she's acting like a putza, she's going around inappropriately. But if she just did it one time, just to like stick it to him, that's not quite the Mishnah. So it says that's why you need regila b'kach for that case. But he also doesn't understand why the Ramah would quote it in the common context of saying a woman acted inappropriately. If regila b'kach, that's when you she loses her ksuba. So the Pisrei Tshuva defends the Ramah. It's an interesting addition, an added twist. Just wanted to mention. We mentioned last time that if a woman is acting inappropriately, so it's a machlokes, but we said we assume you don't have to divorce her. Right? You can stay with a woman who's inappropriate. But we did say, I think we saw the Mordechai said mitzvah lagarsha. It's still a better thing. You should, if your wife is acting inappropriately, she's acting like a prutza, you should divorce her. So adds the Ramah, if you look in source number one at the bottom. So not only is it mitzvah lagarsha, says Ramah, ve'ino yicholo le'akev al yodo shelo yigarshen, and she cannot stop him from divorcing her. The Yochel Agarsha Bal Karcha, the Ein Bazem Mishum Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. The Ramah said, he can even divorce her Bal Karcha, and even though there's generally a Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom that prevents, it stops you from being able to divorce your wife Bal Karcha, says the Ramah that does not apply to an Overes Al Das, a woman, a wife who's acting inappropriately. So you can even force it. But says the Pisrei Tshuva, when is it that you need Regila B'kach? You can only force a get if this is her common practice. If she's commonly, you know, inappropriate, so then the Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom was lifted. In such a case, a one-time event, she might lose her ksuba. The halacha might be she forfeits her ksuba. But to divorce her Bal Karcha, that needs regila b'kach. That's the Pisrei Tshuva writes. So that's his conclusion. We do see over here the fact that, that when it comes to an inappropriate woman, Overes Al Das, so there is an Indian of divorcing her, and even Bal Karcha is one of the cases where we do lift Rabbeinu Gershom, the Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom. We have other cases as well. Every once in a while you lift Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom, and this is one of the examples. But to explain this Ramah, you need Regila B'kach. We wouldn't allow you to do it unless she's commonly inappropriate. Or consistently inappropriate. Okay, that was just one last thing left over from last week. Totally new issue, Fima. We'll bring you back in. We're on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. And we were talking about how the Mishnah says that one of the situations in which a woman loses her ksuba, and now we've learned she does it regularly, she can also divorce her Bal Karcha. One of the situations is a situation where she is with you, she's having tashmish with her husband while she's in Yudah. Okay? And the Gemara is trying to figure out the case. In that context, the Gemara says, well, she has namanus for this. Right? The Gemara says, if, let's say, he doesn't know what's going on, and she tells him that she's tahor, so then he's supposed to rely on her. Because the Pasuk says, Gemara quotes, end of the line, a few lines after the Gemara, Shenemar v'sofra la shivas yamim. The pasuk says shivas. She counts shivas yamim la le'atzma. So she counts for herself, namely on her own, and she is trusted with the counting of the Zayin Nekiyim for her to become Torah. And that's why the Gemara says the Gemara has to make a new case, as we spoke about last week. Huksaga isha v'shcheinoseha. That's when the situation of how you're going to possibly end up with a woman, you're having tashkush with her without realizing it. It's because she didn't say anything to you, but everyone knows that she was an Ida, etc., as we spoke about. So the Safra law. So Tosos here asked the question. Nogei l'inyan d'yoma. The Safra law says Tosos. It sounds like other things in the Torah. What does the Torah say? What are we counting tonight? So, Sviras Omer. And what does the pasuk say? Usvartem lachem imacharas Hashabbos. So ask Tosos Akasha. Tosos here, and I'm based on an Aleph, Zirumas of the Safra law. V'im tomar amai ein mivarech ez zavah svirasa. Why shouldn't a Zava, we make a bracha when we count Sviras Omer? So when a Zava counts as Zayin Nekiyim, she should make a bracha. K'moshim mivarech enal Sviras Omer. The Haksiv v'Safra, it says v'Safra, like it says v'Sfartim, so we make a bracha on Sviras Omer, she should make a bracha on counting the Zayin Nekiyim. Matthew, you look troubled.
If it's Zayin Nekiyim, then it's
good. Oh, hold on. This is Tosos Kasha. So, before we go a little further, now the assumption clearly is of Tosos right now, that she should count, and the question is, why doesn't she make a bracha? But the assumption is that the Sofra law is telling you that you're mechuyev to count. Now, the Shita Mekubetzos, I didn't put this on the Mar Makomos, but the Shita Mekubetzos has ha'ara that this is totally on a machlokes rishonim. You may be aware, the beginning of Gittin and other places, some rishonim on machlokes. What's the source for Eid Echa Neman Bisurin? How do we know Eid Echa Neman Bisurin? So Tosos the Shita in Shas, here again, and Shita says this is Lishitoso. Tosos the Shita says, what's the source for Eid Echa Neman Bisurin? The Nida, the Safra La, Shivas Yamim. The pasuk says she counts for herself the Shivas Yamim. She's believed. So obviously, how does that work? Don't you need Eidus? You need two Eidim. So now the Gemara says this is the source, Eid Echa Neman Bisurin. When it comes to Isser V'Heter, we trust one person, even a woman. Good.
Not only is it Eid Echa, as opposed to Eid, the Eid is.
She's no Gabba Dover, but she's really enamored for the husband also. It's interesting, I'm not sure. I think she's believed for the husband. So it's really, it's the same thing as like cooking food. You trust it as kosher, and someone else can eat the food. So yeah, you're cooking the food, but it's vis-a-vis another person. So it's so dear, vis-a-vis, she's enamored, she's the horror of vis-a-vis the husband. Yeah, that's Eid Echa Neman Bisurin. In fact, Rashi says that has to be the source, because otherwise, how do you ever eat? Pretty sure Rashi and Gittin says something like that. That it's just a fur. Of course, Eid Echa Neman Bisurin. But Tosos says what he says. The Ramban rejects the Rai. The Ramban and Gittin rejects the Safra law as the Makar. Anybody know the Ramban? The Ramban says that, come on, there's no Raya from there. There, it's a chiddush Torah because ef shor belav hachi. You're gonna tell me you're gonna bring two Aidim to a woman every time she does a bedika during Zayin Nekiyim to make sure that she's doing a bedika and that they're clean. That doesn't work. So says the Ramban, this is the chiddush Torah. There's a kasuv that here for the Zayin Nekiyim it works, but you can't extrapolate from here that Eid Echa Neman Bisurin. So says the Shita here in Ksubas says that. According to the Ramban, Tosos' question does not get off the ground. So according to the Ramban, V'Safra can't be telling me a mitzvah to count. V'Safra is telling me a Chiddush HaTorah that Eid Echa Neman Bisurin. Sorry, I'm telling you a Chiddush HaTorah that here she's believed. Otherwise she would never be believed. V'Safra Lo, she's believed here. That's the whole point of the pasuk, is telling me Gzeiras HaKasuv that she's believed in this case. But according to Tosos, that it's a more general pasuk, a more general ne'amanus, so says the Shita, once you're going in that direction, then it's possible to say that there's a mitzvah to count, the Zayin Nekiyim. Because then, I'm not 100% sure I fully understand this. I looked at it I was going to say this over last week, so I didn't look at it last week. I thought I'd remember it, but that's for that. That's the Shita's point is that it's only according to Tosfos. See. Yeah, I have to look in the sheet to look in the sheet to see exactly why he says it, but that's his point. So this is the sheet just points out this is all within Tosos Shita, but in a Hanami the sheet in Gvetza says yeah, according to Tosos, fine, we can continue, we can go on with Tosos, assuming there is a mitzvah to count. Now, Tosos by us has a interesting answer. Tosos says v'yesh lomar de'in mevarchin ela biyovel shemevarchin based. Dimavarchim basin, v'chol shana, shal olam yuchal limnos keseder v'chein omer. He says we only count when it's like yovel, that every year basin will be able to count, or sfiras omer every night you will be able to count. Aval zava shem tira tistor ein la limnos. But by a zava, since if she sees later, right? So she's counting zainakim. She's counting 1, 2, 3. If on day 4 she sees dam again, so then that knocks out the whole count. So then we don't count. That's a lashon of Tosos. So, what happened? The question was about making a bracha, and the answer is don't count. What do you do with this Tosos? Right? He asks, you should make a bracha on the Safrala, and he answers, well, the Safrala is different than Sfiras Omer, and therefore you shouldn't count. I didn't ask about counting, I was asking about the bracha. You hear? So the Shla says, yeah. Tosus is lav dafka. Really, Tosus means you do count, and he proves also from Tosus and Menachos. You look in source number 2. Tosus and Menachos asked the same question, and he says, "Gabi yovel k'siv v'safar talecha de'abeis din kamar lehu." That's beis din has to count. Rachmano the Torah is saying, "V'shem beis din sofer nemevarchin k'mosha anu mevarchim asfiras omer." And maybe beis din actually would count to make a bracha like asfiras omer. Vigave zava dichsiv esafar la lo shayech ba bracha came when the zoseres dichazis afila b'shvi'i sasra, but by zava it's not shayech to make a bracha because if it un, how can you make a bracha on day 1, day 2, day 3 and on day 4 it'll get undone? Turns out well, those are brachas of atalas. It doesn't make sense to be making brachas when it's totally out of your control whether it's going to happen. So that's the. That's the shla. Says Tosfos Menachos is clear that we stick with the Havamina that we do count, we just don't make a bracha. And our Tosfos is lav davka. And this is the shla sheet quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva in source number 3. Hagon Hakadosh Baal Hashla B'daf Kuf Aleph Hitzrich Shibimei Sviras Hanekiim Timne Bechol Yom V'Tomer Hayom Yom V'Chulei K'dichsiv V'Safar La. So she should count every day of the Zainakiim. That's the sheet of the shla. How would we reject this shla? Lamaisa, the Shita here goes on to quote many Achronim who argue with the Shla, and the Minag, the Sidrei Tara, says in Chazninda, the Minag is that a woman does not do any counting, any form of counting for the Zainakim. So, but how do we have a Tosos? How can we understand this Tosos? So, the Milag de Bihuda suggests that no, you should read Tosos as Dafka, but that Svara, why is the Svara breaking it up make a difference? Why should it matter if you break it up so you shouldn't count? I understand not to make a bracha, like Tosfos Menachos says. Why should it break, the fact that it might get broken up be a reason not to count? So Nozi Yehuda says the following, take it or leave it, we're going to have other answers. Nozi Yehuda says that when something's in your control, right, you're to count Sfiras Omer. So what does the Torah mean when he says, Sfartem lachem imacharas ha-shabbos? Is there any possible meaning other than counting? Right? It means to count. Pashup Shah. However, v'safralah shivas yamim. In v'safralah, could it mean something else? Is it feasible to say that v'safralah shivas count 7 days doesn't actually mean, it's actually this week's parasha, Mitzorah, does it not mean, is it possible for it not to mean to actually count hayom yom risha? So it says in Rabbi Yehuda, yeah. Because when it comes to the Zainakim, it's totally out of your control. It's in God's hands whether there's going to be dam or not for the rest of the days. So then we can, once that's shot, the sufra could mean to count in the sense of checking to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't mess up this count. It doesn't mean to actually seek out the count. The sefer can mean like keep track. By spirit omer, it doesn't make sense to say keep track. What do you mean keep track? Of course, it's not. Why wouldn't you be keeping track? So sparse it means to count. But by the zayin akiyim, the sefer can mean keep track, but doesn't necessarily mean to actually physically count the days, because literally count the days, because keep track means be aware of potential things sent min hashamayim that are you're going to see blood all of a sudden. That's one answer that Yehuda has, and that's why we would say not to, doesn't mean to count. Answer number one. Anybody have any other suggestions? Not within this Tosas. That's what Nodi Yehuda says in this Tosas. Nodi Yehuda has a different answer based on a Ramban. Any thoughts? What's the difference between counting Zayin Akim and counting Sfiras Omer? I think you got this before. Yeah, so Sfiras Omer, it's a mitzvah. Zayin Akim, what's Zayin Akim?
It's more of a heksher.
It's more of a heksher, a heter. Do you have to count Zayin Akim? Does a woman have to go to the mikvah? There might be tangential reasons she should go to the mikvah. Maybe she should go to the mikvah so she can come back to her husband, Puravu. But does she have to count Zayin Akim? No chiyuv to count Zayin Akim. So says the Judah, the Ramban on the Torah points this out, that there's no chiyuv to count. It doesn't mean, Masaf Allah doesn't mean you're mechuyuv to count 7 days. Once that's the case, so there's no reason to think that you would actually have to do anything. Right? It makes sense. Sfiras Omer is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is you have to count. But it doesn't make sense to say you have to count. That's not what the words mean. It just means count 7 days, but not that you have a mitzvah to actively do something. Just count in a sense, similar to what we were saying before, in the sense of keeping track, not because of Nodi Huda's whole point before that it's for something else, it's keep track, stay away from what might happen in Hashemayim, but rather it can't mean to verbally say it, because it's not a mitzvah to do it. So it just, rather it means, to keep track. That's Nodi Huda's another suggestion. And the third is from the Mesh Chachma. The Mesh Chachma says that in Sfiras HaOmer, how do we make Sfiras HaOmer unique? What makes these days be set aside? So there's nothing different about Sfiras HaOmer other than the fact that you count days of Sfiras HaOmer. That's what sets them as separate days, as distinct days. However, when it comes to Zayin Akiyim, so just the fact that she's clean makes them as distinct days. So the verbal counting is not as significant. Sfiras HaOmer, the verbal counting is needed to make these days into new days. But when it comes to Zayin Akiyim, that's unnecessary, so there's no reason to think we actually have a chiyuv to express it. The chiyuv, when we count Sfiras HaOmer, when we express it, we're changing, we're setting aside these days, we're making these days distinct. There's no need to do so by the Zayin Akiyim, because automatically that is the case. Okay, so that's an interesting discussion that comes out of our sugya. Again, halacha l'maaseh, we don't pass on like the havamina of this Tosos and maybe the maskana, certainly the maskana of Tosos Menachos. We assume for a variety of reasons that there is no chiyuv to count, even though a sefer would sound like Sparatim Lachem, but we assume there is no chiyuv to count. I was trying to hold out the new sugya for Danny, but we'll see what happens. We'll fill him in if he comes. Okay, the next thing I want to discuss is the Gemara on the bottom. Talk about Kisui Rosh, the chiyuv for a woman to cover her hair. So, we'll begin with the Gemara on the bottom. Ezo, the Mishnah says Das Yehudis. One of the things is Das Yehudis, and Das Yehudis is the minhag of how, where Rashi says back on the Mishnah, Das Yehudis Shenahagu Benos Yisrael Vavagav Deloksiva, something that was a practice that was done by Benos Yisrael, but it was not written in the Torah. It's not a chiyuv midaraisa, but Das Yehudis, the post of the Rishonim assume there's a chiyuv midarabanan to fulfill Das Yehudis, to behave in accordance with Das Yehudis. Okay, so that's just a practice that develops mipneiat snius is what we're talking about here. So might as well say this at the outset. Interesting point. The Mishnah Berurah assumes, I heard this from Willard also, that when we talk about Das Yehudis, we talk about what's the minhag when it comes to these things in yonit snius. How are we kaveh the minhag? So the Mishnah Berurah assumes that the minhag is only nikba by people who follow the din d'oraisa, who follow Das Moshe. I mean, you can't tell me, oh, women don't cover their hair nowadays. That's the common practice. I mean, covering hair is not a good example. But let's say it's something that was really Das Yehudis. Okay, we have to wait and see exactly what's Das Yehudis. But, well, the Mishnah has You know, fine, let's say midaberesim kolav. So the Mishnah says if a woman is very talkative, she talks to all the guys all the time, so that's a violation of Das Yudas. That's not acting with Snias. Oh, perfect timing to end. So that's not acting with Snias. So says the Mishnah Berurah. Now, what if you say, now come on, nowadays in 2015, married women, they go ahead and they talk with any guy in the street. So you say, this is very common. Most married women schmooze with other married men in the street. So not Das Yudas anymore. No. You have to look at all the women that keep the Dinim Daraisa. If the woman covers her hair properly, she covers her body properly, she does everything she does, of all of those women, then we follow their minhag in terms of being defining Das Yehudis. Just a point about Das Yehudis before we get into the actual sugya covering the hair. So that's there's something to keep in mind as we go through the sugya. Today we're not going to talk so much about the difference between Das Yehudis and Das Yehudis, but as we go next week, talk more about it. So that's just something important to bear in mind. Okay. So says the Gemara. Two lines from the bottom. Rosha Perua Daraisa. How can you tell me the Mishnah says Rosha Perua? If she doesn't cover her hair, she's in violation of Das Yehudis. That's Midaraisa. It's written in the Torah. Dechtiv Ufara es Rosha Isha. The Pasuk says, by a sota, you should uncover her hair. And continues the Gemara, but Tanit Ve'er B'Yishmal Azhar LeBenos Yisrael Shelo Yetzi B'Prua Rosh. So it's a warning from here to the Benos Yisrael that they should not go out with their hairs uncovered. And the Gemara answers, Doraisa Kulsa Shaper Dami. Dami, we have a difference between what is required Midaraisa and what is required Midarabana from Das Yehudis. If we aren't too sick of Daf Ayin Beis, by next week we'll talk about those details, but we're not going to get into that today. I want to start first, understand the Din Doraisa. When does it apply? What are its ramifications? So, just to begin, Rashi, how do we learn from the Isha Sota? Before we even get to Rashi, the Pasha Pshah in the Gemara is the Din Doraisa, Din Darabanan, to cover your hair. Leaving aside, we'll get into the details of how much you have to cover. There's like open shut question, it's not even a question, right? Rashi will explain why it is so. The Tumas Sadeshim, though, thinks that it's the Rambam doesn't count this as a mitzvah. He doesn't say it's a lav to have your hair uncovered. So the Tumas Sadeshim, or not say, cover your hair. So the Tumas Sadeshim thinks that according to the Rambam, he doesn't bring that proof, but I'm just adding. The Tumas Sadeshim thinks that according to the Rambam, it's only an asmachta. It's only chiyuv midrabanan to cover your hair. There is no chiyuv doraisa. However, that is a das yachid. I came across in preparing the sugya, the Chavetz Chaim, one of the Svarim of the Chavetz Chaim is a Sefer Geder Olam. Anybody heard of the Sefer before? So in the Kisvei Chavetz Chaim, they have a Sefer Geder Olam, where he has a Sefer all about covering hair. And he writes there in Sif Aleph, the very beginning of the Sefer, he writes, and I'll read to you his Lashon. Kol ha-poskim rishonim v'achronim, kulam hetiku davarzel adina, din isha yotzeis l'shuk v'saroseha megulin. Woman goes out and her hair is uncovered. He overs bezel iser midar iser daraisa. She's violation of daraisa. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah, also in Ma'at Chavetz Chaim, if you look in source number 9 in the brackets, he's just talking about some of the halachas of covering hair. But he also just makes the point to Rechaga that this is in a chiyuv midaraisa for a woman to cover her hair. Okay. Question that. Yeah.
I read it a couple years ago, so I don't remember all the details, but it seemed like you brought in some kulas that are, I guess, more or less acceptable. I don't know. I honestly don't remember it. Now I'm interested in...
So let's go through this again. So... I won't say anything about the let's just start the sugya. So the Pashup Shad Daraisa, the Shidu Mbetz, certainly called Rishonim and says it's Daraisa. Other Rishonim don't say explicitly. There is a Trum Sedeshin out there, but the Chavetz Chaim is very strong. And Ramosh also assumes Daraisa, and Ravadi also assumes Daraisa. All the postkim that I've seen all assume that this is a Chiyuv Midaraisa. Now, what exactly the parameters of the Chiyuv Daraisa we'll have to get to, but everyone assumes there's a Chiyuv Midaraisa here. Almost everyone, again, leaving aside the Trum Sedeshin. I'm not even sure where Ziyak is from the Rambam, although he doesn't really explain where he got it from the Rambam. I'm surmising the fact that Rambam doesn't count it as a chiyuv, but not necessarily a proof. I never read the article, so I can't comment on it.
I think it was more that he was trying to say, like, it was more that maybe people should get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to
recovering
it.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Let's look at the sugya. So that's what we say over here. Now, and I don't know. Again, I don't know what he talked about there, but the part in terms of how much to cover, that we'll talk about. We'll talk about next time. So as far as whether this is a lav or an asay, so the Rav Moshe points out, I think, it's totally in two deis in Rashi here, because Rashi says azhara. So where do you get it from for us Rosh Haisha? It says Rashi, midavdinan la haki the navla, since they did this to her to make her look disgusting, that's why they took off, you know, they uncovered her hair when she came, when the Shasota, when she comes to the base of Mikdash. It's mida kenegan mida kemosha asasal lehis naos al bala miklada asa. So she was inappropriate. She made her hair look very nice. So mida kenegan mida, to what she did wrong. So we do something wrong to her, or we make her look bad in kind of that area as well. So says Rav Moshe, that it sounds like what he's saying here is she did something, she violated Nisr. She should not have made her hair look pretty. She made her hair look pretty. So now Mida Kenegamida, we're going to make her head look bad, or her hair look bad. The assumption is that Nisr, and the Ritva also says Isr Mishum Pritzus, that it's she acted inappropriately. So that's a violation of the Isr to have your hair uncovered, to act inappropriately with your hair. Okay? That's what Moshe does, is the shot in first rush. Yes?
According to that shot,
if she makes her hair up looking nice, it looks good. If you just uncover hair just like that, it looks bad. You're married man, you should probably know that that's right. I don't know. Right when they take off their shape, though, it looks like a mess. Right, they can make the hair up look nice, but right away it looks like a mess. Oh, and this is one shot so far.
Oh, okay.
She was inappropriate, so she did something wrong. We do something to her hair. Second answer, Inami, since you uncover Miklalta, who shaita lav prua who? So it implies that at that moment she was not uncovered. She had her hair covered. Shbamina in derech benos Yisrael lotzeis pruos rosh. See, from here, it's not the way for a Jewish girl to go. It's not proper for her to go out with her hair uncovered. V'cheinikar. Says her Moshe, this doesn't really sound like a lav. This sounds like an asay. Sounds like she should go with her hair, covered. The appropriate way for her to act, mitzvah asay, for her to go with her hair covered up. This is the second shot. The first shot was she did an isser, so now we get her back. Second shot is just from implication. It sounds like she was not. Sounds like until this point she was doing what she was supposed to have been doing. So there's a mitzvah. Now, Rav Avadia questions that read of the second beer, but that's what Rav Moshe says. L'may nafka mina to laver nase. What? Well, okay, maybe Malchus.
Money.
That's what Rav Moshe discusses. Rav Moshe discusses money. Let's say you have a lot of, you know, your parnassus is on the line. Says Rav Moshe, if it's a lav, you got to give up your parnassus. It's an asay, then up to a chomesh, you don't have to spend more than a chomesh. It's going to cost you your job. Presumably, that's going to cost you more than a chomesh. Says Rav Moshe, you would, according to that day in Rashi, the second day in Rashi, which says it's ikur, so you would, if it meant losing your job, you don't have to cover your hair. However, says Rav Moshe, it's a shayla of a deraisa. Rav Moshe says, it's a shayla of a deraisa, I'm not going to be mekel. He says, you can't go, you know, there's another day in Rashi, it's a lav, I'm not willing to be mekel. But we'll see a case which is a Derabanan, which he says on this shaila you can be Mako. On this question, whether you view it as a lav or not, say, since Tavi Derabanan Makula, anyway, we could treat it as an asay, namely, you wouldn't have to give up your parnas. That's what Moshe is not going to, yeah. That's it, is Derabanan, correct. That's the assumption that I've shown him. It's the minog, Rashi says it's the minog, the way people act, and there's a chiyuv mid Derabanan to behave the Derab Sinas.
Like
head covering looks really weird,
so maybe that would be a
head covering. So, head coverings don't look that weird.
No, I'm saying like
in a context, that, right? So the problem is you have still the chiyuv d'oraisa. It's not going to help you for chiyuv d'oraisa.
Right. Well, I'm saying if it's the case. It's
so we'll have to see. We'll have to see by the end of the sugya if it. To in that regard, to go with the din derabanan versus din derabanan, to just keep the derais and not the derabanan, either way, you're gonna have something on your head. I'm not sure if it's gonna help you, but something to think about.
Could be.
Okay. Now, the question I want to spend a little more time on is about whom is this iser stated. You read the Gemara. Now, what do you have to say? What kind of woman has to cover hair? You don't know anything. You're just reading Gemara and Ksuba Staf Ayin Beis.
Well, it's a sota. It sounds like it's a...
Sota sounds like a married woman. Okay, good. But, look at the lashon of the Gemara. L'benos Yisrael. So, the Rambam, whose sheet is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, source number 4, lo se lachna benos Yisrael, pruos rosh b'shuk, benos Yisrael should not go pruos rosh, says the Shulchan Aruch, because says the Rambam, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, achas penuya v'achas eishes ish. There's a chiyuv for a penuya, for an unmarried woman, and for a married woman to have her hair covered. And the Gra there says, yeah, that's lashon of the Gemara. Azharah l'benos Yisrael. It doesn't say married woman, it says benos Yisrael. So it sounds like it applies across the board to everyone. Okay? Very interesting. What makes things more difficult is that's the Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer. Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, the other place where these halachas are discussed is in Aruch Chaim, in the halachas of Kriya Shema, because the Gemara Brachos goes through different things, situations where you can't say Kriya Shema in front of an Erva. And says the Shulchan Aruch, Seir Shal Isha Shidarka Lichasoso Aso the Kros Kanendo. So the hair of a woman that she normally covers, to the exclusion of a little bit of hair that maybe comes out of the sides, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema, Afilu Ishto. Avals continues the Shulchan Aruch. Besulos shedarkon leilech pruos rosh mutter. Besulos, unmarried women who go without covering their hair, there's not a problem saying Kriya Shema in front of them. That seems to be a steer. How does that fit? On the one hand, we seem to say that penuyos have to cover their hair, and here in Aruch Chaim we say penuyos and besulos don't have to cover their hair. Anybody? It seems like a straight. What? Okay, we're not machalik here in our Chaim. And it would be. I'm not sure how that would help you. B'shuk. And then therefore it's not an erva? I don't know. Don't seem to be distinctions. Anybody? Well, b'shuk. No, so we'll talk about shuk. Next time we'll get into more of that. Where, how much of the hair and when, where it applies. We'll talk about that. But here it seems to be a steer. So the first answer, I think, comes from the Bach, quoted by the Chalkas Mechokek in Ebenezer, the Bach in Ebenezer, and the quoted by the Chalkas Mechokek in Ebenezer. And they say the following, that when we say Penuya, so what does Penuya mean? Penuya means not married. Does that necessarily mean a Besula? The Lashon Shulchan Aruch over there is Besulos. Here we're talking about penuyos, says the Bach, quoting the Bach. All it means is a be'ula, but a penuya that was a be'ula. She had relations already, but a besula? No, a besula doesn't have to cover her hair. And the Bach, in fact, deraya for that, from the Gemara in Ksubis, on the Tez Vav, I put it on the Marmakomot, so you don't have to flip through, but there's a Mishnah in the very beginning of the second paragraph of Ksubis. The Mishnah says, if you have a question, was a woman a besula at the time of the wedding or not a besula at the time of the wedding? There's a disagreement between the husband and the wife, and it comes to snogeya, to how much she has to pay for the ksuba. What's the way to prove that she was a besula? Says the Mishnah. Im yesh edim she yatzas behinuma, if there were edim that she went behinuma, she had a veil, virosha perua, and her hair was uncovered, subasa masayin, then we know she's a basula. So what do you see? You see that a basula has her hair uncovered. That's the bach brings a raya right here. It can't be that a basula has to cover hair. That's the bach says. The Beis Shmuel, when he presents this answer, he doesn't quote the bach. The Beis Shmuel says, no, when it means knuyos, it means amana or grusha. An amana and a grusha, they have to cover their hair. That's what the Shulchan Aruch means in Ebenezer. But a basula doesn't have to cover her hair. Isn't the same thing? Line afkamina, so probably, possibly the afkamina is a be'ula penuya shezinza. Or a penuya shezinza. Right? So if, let's say a single girl had relations before she got married, that would be the nafkamina here, between the way the Chagas B'chogik and the Beis Shmuel present it. So according to the Chagas B'chogik, he just says be'ula. It sounds like even a single girl has relations, has to cover her hair. The Beis Shmuel does not seem to say that. He seems to say dafka, amana, and grusha. L'may says a machlokes achronim about a single girl. What? A single girl that has relations. Penuya shezinza, the machlokes achronim. And the maskan of the Mishnah Brura, there seemed to somehow, at some point in history, it would have been better for her to have her hair covered.
So a single woman that's divorced should still cover her hair?
Yeah, for sure they're saying that a woman's divorced to cover her hair, correct. So somehow it would help her. It would be less embarrassing if her hair was covered. I don't understand the sociology of it. So, but the Mishnah Brura says, but that's the only reason she has to cover her hair. Fundamentally speaking, she does not have to cover hair, so she doesn't want to cover hair. Again, a penuya shezinza, single girl had relations, doesn't want to cover hair, she doesn't have to cover her hair. The minhag was to do it, but it's only the tovasa, the Mishnah Berurah says. Again, I don't understand that. Lamaisa, we assume like this Beis Shmuel, that they do not have to cover the hair, it's only a grusha amana that has to cover her hair.
I assume we don't follow
the shita? Let's hold on. Let's see. Do we have any other answer? So, another answer is the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham Shita is that really, when we say in Evan Ezer that the halach of covering hair applies to both an Eishes Ish and a Penuya, they don't apply to the same degree. A married woman has to fully cover her hair. A Penuya, she just has to braid her hair. And Adi Yom HaZeh, the minhag by Hasidim, is that single girls braid their hair. So she has to braid her hair. It's more tzanua for her to have her hair contained. But she doesn't have to have it covered. And that's why in Orach Chaim, when the Shulchan Aruch says you can say Kriya Shema in front of the hair of a penuya, that's because her hair is not supposed to be covered. It's going to be braided. That's what we're talking about in Evan Ezer. But as far as that's not going to affect Kriya Shema, it's going to be totally fine to say Kriya Shema in front of it because it's obviously not an erva that needs to be covered up. That's how the Magen Avraham fits the two. Presumably the Magen Avraham would hold also that Amana and Grusha have to braid their hair, because Penuya Lechora includes everything. Penuya is probably just one example. Unclear exactly what the Magen Avraham holds in that regard. Yeah, so that's also a little dachuk to say that. Okay, but that's what the Magen Avraham suggests. The Magen Avraham doesn't like the other tarets, because the Gemara, if it says Penuya, Penuya implies all. It implies first. Your first thought when you hear Penuya is Basula. So you tell me it's Dafka Amana Grusha. I should have told you. Shulchan Aruch knew when I say Amana Grusha. So he doesn't like Dafka. So there's each tzad has its pluses and minuses. Now on a simple level, this seed is Daraisa, right? Because they're learning it. We said the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch is based on our Gemara. Our Gemara is a Chiyuv Midaraisa. So on a simple level, Bain L'Beis Shmuel, that's talking about Amana Grusha. And Bein L'Magen Avraham, that's talking about a Penuya. There's a Chiyuv D'Oraisa to do whatever you're supposed to do. On a simple level, that's what I would have said. The Magen Avraham says no. The Magen Avraham says, this Chiyuv for a Basula to braid her hair, or Penuya to braid her hair, that's only Das Yehudis. It's only Midrabanan. And he says, yeah, the Gemara, really, like Matthew, you were asking before, what's the source talking about? The source is talking about Eishes Ish. Asota is an Eishes Ish. So that's what's Midaraisa. Then the Gemara has a Lashon Azhar Lebenos Yisrael that wasn't really all coming from the Isha Sota. That was, we kind of use this as a springboard to say, and by the way, there's a Lacha that all girls have to cover their hair, even a Amana Grusha, even a Basula, according to Magen Avraham, but not that everything is Daraisa. That's what the Magen Avraham says. But the Mishnah Berurah, Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah in source number 7, quotes this Magen Avraham. If you soon see in source Kanye Bez, I'm Magen Avraham, Shkasa de lo lielchu Gilui Rosh, that even a Basula cannot go be Gilui Rosh with a hair on card. Rak im sarosehen kluos velosturos, they have to have their hair braided and not undone. Aval hamachza shekel the hamagin giborim mekilim bezeh. However, Machza Shekel and others argue with this, but obviously they have to still answer the stira, and so they go with the Bach or the Shmuel's distinction between a married woman and almana and a grusha. So, if you're going to answer your question, halacha lemaisa, we do assume that there's a chiyuv albeit midir rabbanan. Rav Moshe also assumes a split of the Magen Avraham. There's a chiyuv midir rabbanan for almana and a grusha to cover her hair. Now, interestingly, Ramosh, going back to what we said before, Ramosh's tshuva, where he makes that point about Rashi, he was asked about an almana, or grusha, I don't remember which one it was, I think an almana, he asked about an almana, can she not cover hair when it comes to making a parnasa? So that's what Ramosh says. Well, since it's a shayla of derabanan at this point, we can treat it like an assay, and say only have to spend up to one-fifth of your money, but if you lose your job, you wouldn't have to lose your job. That's what Ramosh says. Ramosha said that. So that's where Rav Avadia is famously known for a shita, which maybe we'll get to next week, about how you can't wear a shetel. So Rav Avadia says, but on this shayla also, it's a derabanan, I'll be makel.
What makes a reverter get remarried?
What?
I mean, it would be tough for her to get remarried.
Yeah, so I was talking to the guys in the base manager about this. I didn't look into the details of Amana and Grusha. From what I understand, there are some mekilim or some kulas in situations like that, like dating or whatever it might be. I didn't look into it, so I'm not going to say one way or the other. But the basic point is there's a chiyuv. Then how we can get out of it, so maybe we'll have ways to get out of it. Ramosha interestingly has another point. Ramosha says, since to say Shirabana means it's Das Yehudis. Das Yehudis, we said, means the minhag of how people act. So if that's the case, Ramosha says, maybe there was never a minhag to be machmir in situations of parnasa. No one ever did the Das Yehudis at the expense of making a living. So it says Rav Moshe, so maybe that's another reason why an almana doesn't have to cover hair if she's going to potentially lose her parnasa. So I don't know if that svara is extended by other situations. That's a question we have to look into. But lemaisa, but fundamentally, almana grusha should be chayav. Interestingly, Rabbi Willig has another answer to the stira. He has this in a sefer on brachos. He suggests another possible answer to the stira, and this is actually pretty meduyuk in the lashon. So, what's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch? Aval besulo shedarkon in orchaim. Besulo shedarkon lelech pruos rosh. Doesn't sound like it's mutter for them. Just says darkon. That's the way they do it. We'll suggest, based on what we said, that the chiyuv outside of a married woman only das yehudis. So, it may be true. The Shulchan Aruch and Ibn Ezra is reporting. It's just quoting the Gemara. You read the Gemara, there's a chiyuv midir abanan, let's say across the board, amana, grusha, all prunios, a basula as well, all prunios of chiyuv derabanan. Lemaisa, though, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim is reporting that the minhag was for basulas not to cover their hair. So maybe we can change a further chiddush in Rav Moshe. We can say, even though once there was a minhag for basulas to cover their hair, but since that changed, it loses its status as das yehudis. So Willard suggests that's an answer to the stira. And Ibn Ezra, we're talking just fundamentally speaking, there is the Das Yehudis and Pneus, but practically, in Or Chaim, at least the Basulos, not Amon and Grusha, if Dafka says Basulos, we could say, you could read it very Meduya, it's Dafka Basulos, they didn't have the Minhag, since it's Das Yehudis, we could say it is Mutter for a Basulo. Okay. Why does this make sense, these Chilukim? What's special at Ishas Ish? That there's the Dinda Raisa. What? How do we understand the chiyuv to cover her hair? So what's the connection to Sod? So yes, that's true. Why? Why can't you say Kriyashma? I mean, what's this all about? Is it an erva or is it not an erva? If it's an erva, it should apply across the board. It should apply even to Pneus. If it's not an erva, it shouldn't apply to the suos.
But if it's based on who the heir is connected to, meaning what the status of the woman could hear. So if she's Ishvish,
okay, but so maybe you're saying what Ramosha is saying. Let's just say what you're saying in other words. Ramosha says that really you're right. I'm right. There's nothing wrong with hair. The hair does not lead to hurim. Hair is hair. Everyone has hair. It's not a big deal. But what? The Torah tells us a woman has to cover her hair. Since the Torah creates a chiyuv, and that's a chiyuv by an eshes ish. Since the Torah creates a chiyuv, the Mela, that gives it the status of an erva. From the fact that there's a chiyuv to cover it, I'll cover it, there's a status of an erva. So that's an objective status. That's why the Chazanish says, don't start bringing me svaras why there's hirur. And people might want to say, well, by a married woman, there's more hirur than a single girl. Says the Chazanish, I don't want to hear any svaras. We don't find any of those distinctions. The halacha is, across the board, there is a chiyuv, is an objective erva. So don't tell me, well, I don't know if this married woman, if this woman's married or not. Right? If you want to say the other svara, it's married woman somehow brings out more hirur. I should only say it's also, but I know the woman's married. Let's say I don't know the woman from a hole in the wall. There shouldn't be a problem. Says the Chazanish, no, it's objective erva. It's created, comes from the fact that there's a chiyuv to cover. In the Mela, we have an objective status of erva.
Then, since I think you don't know if she has a chiyuv to cover.
No, but so I have to be, machmir, subject to reisa, it might be our subject of din of erva. Or let's say, maybe you'll say a woman doesn't have to cover hair. No one's going to recognize her, since it's only only a married woman has an erva. Let's say I go to some random place. I'm a married woman, no one knows me. Right? So, come on, I don't have the chiyuv is to cover erva. I don't have erva, no one knows it, so it's not really erva. So no, there's an objective chiyuv. There's an objective chiyuv to cover the hair, there's objective erva. This would throw into big question, as Willis points out, a very famous sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan in source number 8, we won't read inside, but the Aruch HaShulchan starts by going on a rant about how it became out of practice for women to cover their hair. It's a terrible thing, goes on a big rant about this. Some people misquote the Aruch HaShulchan, but he goes on a whole rant. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, but since this is the case, it is okay to say Kriya Shema in front of a woman and say brachas in front of a woman who doesn't have her hair covered. That's Aruch HaShulchan. So Willig points out that based on this whole explanation we just said, if it's objective erva, so then it doesn't help that no one does it. Because it's not a matter of hear her. If it was a matter of hear her, that people were getting aroused by seeing married women's hair uncovered, and now it became so commonplace that it doesn't get your arousal going, so we can understand the Aruch HaShulchan. But it was never had anything to do with hear her. It had to do with objective status as brought about by the chiyuv to cover the hair. And the Mishnah Berurah, in fact, in source number 9, you have the Mishnah Berurah there. The Mishnah Berurah argues and says, "Lamaisa, you're not allowed to say brachos in front of a woman who has her hair uncovered, even if it's commonplace to do so." However, Moshe and another tshuva points out that there is indication that there's hirhur when it comes to hair, and that's the following: the Gemara in Brachos in source number 10 says, "Amar sheshes seir beisha erva." That's what we spoke about before. Seir beisha is considered erva for the halacha kriyashma. Shenamar. What would you expect? Don't look at the Makaros. What would you expect it to be the source? Seir b'isha erva, according to what we said. Uferas Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara does not say that. The Gemara quotes Basak in Shir HaShirim, Sarech Eider HaYizim. Oh, it's beautiful hair, as described in Shir HaShirim. What? Where did that come from? So it says, Ramosha, you see there must be some inyan of erva, some inyan of beauty in the hair. That's what you see from this Basak. So it's not just strictly a halachic erva, objective halachic erva. So then what is it? So Moshe says, okay, it's got to be a combination of the fact that it's beautiful and the chiyuv to cover. What does that mean? So Willig suggests, also in the Sefer, in Brachos, so Willig suggests the following, that we have halacha of mekomos hamechusos and mekomos hamegulos. So certain areas of the body that are supposed to be covered, so if you don't cover those parts of the body, so they, now that's erva. It's normally covered. If you expose that part of the area, the part of the body that's supposed to be covered, it's erva. Now, could be, will it suggest, that maybe once there's a chiyuv to cover, so it's not just like we said, it's an objective erva. It could be once there's a chiyuv to cover, that means that what's going to happen, it's not that married women have more of an attraction, but since they normally cover their hair, Memela, once it's exposed, it becomes attractive. Since it's something that it's great, it's uncovering something that's meant to be covered, that engenders the sense of beauty, engenders the sense of hear her. So it's not nothing to do with being married per se, but since there's a chiyuv to cover, memela, once you don't cover it, that will have a sense of hear her. And once that's the case, we can say the Aruch HaShulchan, we can apply the Aruch HaShulchan, because the Aruch HaShulchan, we lost that whole mahalach. The whole mahalach was, since it's supposed to be covered, it leads to hear her, but since people don't do it, the mela doesn't lead to hear her. We can understand the Aruch HaShulchan. Rav Willig has a smach. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Rav Willig has a smach for this for the Rambam, but this question of how to understand Eishes Ish could be the Nekudas HaMacholos between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. But this second point really is a little bit of a chiddush. Rav Willig, it sounded like his Netiya in his piece in the Sefer was Lusmi Machra and the Shaila that we should not be making, although the Mishnah Berurah does say that for this halacha, closing your eyes does work. The Mishnah Berurah is not sure about closing your eyes, you may have to turn away from a woman who's undressed in other ways, but when it comes to hair, the Mishnah Berurah says that closing your eyes would be sufficient. So that seems like that's what we should try to do halacha nice. Okay. So.